Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
What's going on? It's Isaac, back with another episode of Inappropriate Happiness, and I am joined, as always, by talented musician Karina Reichman. Talented musician Karina Reichman, you are having quite a week.
Hi, Boogie. What is going on? They really should have said lunatic musician. That would have been more apt, but either way, it's I am having quite a week. It's so far so good. What can you say?
What we're referring to is Karina was on Eyewitness News, which is a major thing here in New York. It's in all of the taxis, and was interviewed and featured by Sandy Kenyon, who's become kind of a legend for the city in a certain kind of way.
I couldn't agree more. And he, you know, he is famous for perhaps the Eyewitness News movie Minute, which if you've taken a yellow cab before, you've probably seen, you know, this gentleman with his very like kind of dry voice reviewing movies. And I mean, I've been obsessed with him since high school. And he used to interview, or not, he used to introduce our high school / college band, Isaac. And now, I mean, he's done, now this is his second feature on me. The first being during the pandemic, which is wild. He called me, you know, it was like pandemic pioneer Karina Reichman, which is very flattering and very sweet. And then, you know, he's really just kept tabs on yours truly and wanted to do another story, seeing all this, you know, hoopla about my debut record. And he was like, what better time than now than to do another story on you? So I'm over the moon delighted that he's sort of kept a close watch on what I've been up to all these years. It's very, very sweet.
So you have an album coming out this Friday and are doing a lot of press around it and a lot of different kinds of promotion. And, you know, in the last couple of years, you've had different kinds of exposure to different things and have shared and posted and been featured in many different ways. What is the reaction like to something like a feature on television done by Sandy Kenyon?
It's a great, really, really well asked question, Isaac. It's, you know, I feel like for all the people who, you know, like the adults, you know, quote unquote, who maybe think I'm some kind of derelict and don't quite understand what it is that I do, and oh, she gets in a van and, you know, travels around with a bunch of lunatics around the country, and, you know, or what, like for people who don't, it sort of, I feel like, gives some sort of, you know, validity or something to a certain type of person who sees me on television, on the news, and they're like, oh my God, like, she is a real working musician, where I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I've been a working musician for a long time, you know what I mean? And whatever. But that element of it is kind of funny to me, because there's definitely been a lot of people in my life who sort of came out of the woodwork to say, like, congrats about the TV feature, which I really, of course, appreciate. But I think it's funny that it took, you know, a newscaster on Channel 7 for them to, you know, I don't know. It's sort of an interesting thing because, like, and especially, I don't know, I feel like growing up, you know, in the city or whatever, just like growing up in general, there's the people you go to school with who, like, you know, they're doctors, lawyers, business executives, things that are like much more kind of palatable for a more run-of-the-mill type of person to like grasp, right? And then there's me who runs around on stage and drops bass bombs and gets crazy, like, you know, for a living. And so I don't know. I felt like that was kind of a striking element of it for me. You know, there was sort of an older contingent that was like, "Oh my God, Karina, you're really doing music." I'm like, "Yeah, I've been doing music for a long time, totally." So that's an interesting thing. And yeah, I mean, it's not mainstream, quote unquote, but it's definitely like on primetime, you know, Channel 7 television here in New York, in the greater New York area. So there was a pretty strong reaction to it. I'm delighted, you know, and I feel like that was kind of a wild piece of press.
For me, it almost works in the opposite way.
Tell me.
Where I don't really know what goes on Channel 7 News on any given day. So when I hear that you're going to be on it, I'm like, oh, Channel 7 News, that's so cool all of a sudden.
I agree. I mean, I never turn on like, what? You know, and it's like you see the guy doing the weather and then it's like entertainment reporter Sandy Kenyon has a story. And it's like, what? It's it's definitely a very strange experience.
I got very interested in Steve Kornacki, who does the live reporting of the election results.
He's interesting
and has he has a very incredible skill set, but the way he pays attention to and delivers on and can process what's happening,
sure,
I find very compelling.
I think the news is fascinating, especially like, yeah, like the local, well, that's not local news, but that's nationwide, honey, but yes, all of the above. There's something interesting about all of it for sure, and it's like packaged in this sort of funny way. And then the anchors, like, I don't know, for my news piece, like the anchors at the end are like, "Karina, you rock." I'm like, wow, that is hilarious. That's really, and I'm very flattered. Thanks. I think they rock. You guys rock. So that was funny. Yeah, no, definitely a crazy moment of a lot of media and press and that sort of thing, which I'm just super, I mean, I'm very grateful for all that. And I think I have a good, like, I, you know, it's a good thing I like to talk so much, you know what I mean? Because if I didn't, I feel like there's a lot, many, many musicians who are the polar opposite of me, you know, and we're like quiet creatives who are combustive on stage, but then very reclusive in real life. And I feel like I'm not necessarily that guy at all, you know, and I like to talk and I like to tell my story and I like being asked questions for the most part, you know, when I'm being interviewed, not like when I'm at dinner. But, you know, it's been good. A lot of podcasts, and I'm very glad to be back and doing our own podcast in the midst of all of the other, you know, long form ones I've been doing, which is kind of cool.
Well, in terms of the sequence of stories,
yeah,
of what's going on recently, to close the book or maybe open the book on another viral moment you had, you received a package in the mail recently.
Oh, Isaac, you are so right about that, my dude. For those who don't know, we discussed on, you know, perhaps the last episode or two episodes ago, I don't remember, but I made this very stupid, very short video about, you know, being hassled by somebody in public while I was wearing a Rush t-shirt. And somebody said, "Hey, name one album." And then I, you know, went on to completely destroy that person with, you know, I named about seven albums and said, "Well, you want them in chronological order?" Anyway, this video has now been viewed like well over a million times, which is very wild. And I've just got, you know, in the digital realm, things are very different for me now. It really did change quite a bit. And I still, every day, I'm getting hundreds of new followers from this, which is wild. This came out over like a month ago, you know? So it's been very surreal and very interesting that's what's brought people to see. And now people are writing to me to say, "Hey, you know, I came here because of the Rush video, but your music's awesome." And I'm like, great. Well, that's as that's what you want, you know, or whatever. So within all of that, after the video was posted, Rush, the band, DM'd me, if you will. And they said, you know, thanks so much for the support. What's your mailing address? We'd like to send you something. And I was like, oh, shit. So gave them a mailing address. And then what happened, Isaac? Real recent.
I went down to get a very different package on Friday, and the doorman had another package, and it was for you with the return address from one GL Wine Rib of Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, man. And I was not around. I was going to play in Westport, Connecticut that night, but you called me and were like, Karina, there's a package here from GL Wine Rib. That's Geddy Lee Wine Rib. And I was like, oh my, I almost had a heart attack. And I was like, don't open it. And you were like, girl, I'm not going to open it. And right before we sat down to tape this podcast, I was like, what did we do?
We did a little unboxing.
Oh, dude. And so, you know, it is Geddy Lee's book, Geddy Lee's big book of bass. And inside it, he wrote a personal message saying thanks for the support, Karina. And it's pretty, just the fact that the video reached his consciousness and like he then said, like, it's crazy. So that kind of blows my mind. And thank you, Geddy, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not. you definitely know a lot about Sandy Kenyon by now, and I really appreciate you. That is unbelievable. And it's a beautiful book, by the way. Everybody should go and buy a copy of Geddy Lee's Big Book of Bass, if you ask me.
I thought it was cool that we opened it to two different pages that had cream-colored basses, gold pick guards.
Literally, which are, for those who don't know, my specialty. You know, I have my 1978 Fender P bass that's cream with a gold pick guard, and then I have my first custom bass by Zeke Guitars that was modeled exactly after that bass that's white with a gold pick guard, and you know, with a P bass looking body and whatnot. Yeah, so surreal, so crazy. I don't know.
And then I think we like turned to a page with like Jeff Tweedy holding a bass, and we're like, okay, we'll look at the rest of this later. We should record the podcast.
It looked appropriate. You know, he looked good with it. But yeah, I mean, what a crazy, that's been a very shocking viral moment of the last little while, for sure. Very, very interesting. And it's brought a lot of people, you know, a lot of like musicians that I super admire into my, you know, DMs that I'm now chatting with, and I'm just like, wow, like the Rush video brought you to me. That's crazy. Like, what? And you know, you never know, Isaac, in this world of like very fast and quickly consumed media, what a 17 second video can, you know, how far it can reach and how widely it can, you know, be disseminated. Very fascinating to me, who's never had a viral moment before. Like, this is really a wild and for it to be that, it just cracks me up. So thank you, Geddy, and thank you, Alex, and thank you to the whole Rush HQ for putting this together for me. That's so beyond sweet. It's crazy.
Well, since we recorded our last episode, Fish closed out most of their summer tour with a 7-night residency at Madison Square Garden. You were there for all 7. I came in for the last 4. And let's just, you know, it's old news, but it's also still very much here with us. And, you know, just thought we would say a few words about our experience of this incredible residency.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, I'm shocked. Shocked and awed that this all went down. I have no idea how they're able to pull off such gargantuan effort towards not repeating a single song over the course of 7 nights in the world's most famous arena. It was so crazy. And of course, you know, it sounds insane that it is insane. I can't believe I was able to attend all 7. Like in the middle of the sun, like what, when I'm, you know, theoretically at my busiest with like, you know, a lot of weekend festivals and blah, 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 which, you know, I just had that exact stretch of time off, which is really amazing. And I feel like I learned so much personally. And like, I had this big show in Westport, Connecticut the other day, and my band played for like a straight 2 hours, which we never do, and, you know, jammed very excessively. And all of us, you know, my whole band, I brought on multiple occasions to the Phish concerts. And, you know, there's something really masterful. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir, right? But, you know, the way that Phish will put the audience in a trance for a long stretch of time in the midst of a jam, which is just this, you know, tapestry of interwoven lines, right? And they're so good at keeping it at one pace, one tempo, one sort of, you know, this thing where you really get into a meditative state, right? And they do that, they're able to do that without changing it and without, you know, making it more bombastic for quite some time. They can just live in this space, right? And I don't know, I had this crazy moment of kind of, I've seen Phish 140 times, right? But like over the course of this run, studying them so much and doing, you know, just seeing what was going on a very like musicological level, you know? And then, so they keep you in that mode for a long time, and then they change one little thing and you're like, oh, and then they change one other little thing and you're like, oh. And then all of a sudden it's bombastic and the lights are going crazy and he's peeking it and it's going in. You're just like completely, you know, losing your mind, right? And of course, not every jam follows that, you know, methodology. But it was really sort of interesting to see how, like, when my band was playing last week, coming off of all of this, kind of in the mindset of like, okay, like, we can keep things at the same sort of sonic level and pace for a long time until you start to make things more bombastic and then until you start to pick things up, you know what I mean? And it's, you know, it's a classic formula. You see it, Grateful Dead, Allman Brothers, classic. You start here, my hand is low, and you end here, my hand is high. And, you know, it obviously, it's about the journey, right? And so in order to have a long and impactful journey, you have to keep things down here for a while often, you know what I mean? And it's very, very difficult as a musician to be in a moment like that and not accelerate and not want to accelerate. If you're me, maybe some people really like to be in that, which I love to be in that mode too. But for me, I get impatient, you know, and I get, my punk rock sensibility takes over and I'm like, come on, let's rev it up already. You know what I mean? But it was really cool to have these very, very patient jams, very much inspired by what I saw over the course of the 7 nights this last weekend, you know, for my just in my own head, I feel like my whole band was super inspired by what we saw. And it was really a beautiful thing. And the Phish shows were spectacular. And I feel like they just kept getting better, which is great because Isaac was there for the last four. And, you know, there were like the first weekend, I by the way, I loved every minute of it. But the first weekend I found there to be a few sets in there where I was like, okay, the first set was incredible and the second set was good, you know, and whatever. But of course, you know, to be able to do anything even close to what this band is capable of is nothing short of miraculous.
It's, I mean, there's a lot to hang on to about what you're saying.
Oh.
Because I do feel that there's something about the frame of the jams that obviously pertains to, you know, going out and then playing your own music. I definitely feel it in my work too. Like as a therapist, like yeah. The impulse to try to just kind of, you know, work with what everything that somebody is bringing into the room is so strong, and like it doesn't work to do that.
That's
like,
interesting.
You
wow.
know, they're, you know, you have to be patient and work with someone closely and listen, and you can't escalate from A to Z. Like, you know, like it really takes time to make something real. And yeah, I think that I don't know. It was just listening to you talk about that, thinking about a very similar way in which that works for me.
Sure. I feel like for lots of people, you know, people. And the way in which, like, you know, people have these very deep introspective moments at these shows, not drug fueled at all, you know what I mean? But just by virtue of the trance that this band literally puts you in, because that's a crazy element that is such a huge part of the seeing Phish experience, that is not shared with non-jam bands in that same way, you know? And it's really, and of course, to me, they're the masters of it, you know? And it's very interesting. I feel like a lot of people have these sort of introspective moments at the shows where, you know, Isaac's a therapist, I'm a musician, we're having a similar thought about what it all means and how it reflects into our respective lives. And I think other people do too, you know, whether or not they're acutely aware of it, right? And even just being there, them giving you the time and space to be like, whoa, okay, here we go. And then you get lost in your own reverie. And then after a long time, you're like, oh my God, they just changed something. Oh, and then you're like, you know, brought back out of it. And then you're even more jubilated than, you know, like they, it's a wild system and thing that they've kind of, you know, I don't even want to say perfected, because that, you know, perfected doesn't leave room for the incredible intangibility that the band brings to the table and the desire to fuck around and find out, because that's huge and that's why we love it. You know, it's like some things, they're just experimenting. They're totally exploring up there. It's unbelievable to behold and see them create these sonic tapestries out of nowhere, you know? So that's very cool. I'm stoked that you know, it's a cool thing. It's like the coolest thing.
Totally. I was also thinking of, you know, bringing it back to what it's like to be framed by a news anchor. I watched this interview with Trey ahead of some of the orchestral shows he did on PBS. And the anchor is like, the interviewer is like, why now? Why do orchestral stuff now? And Trey was like, oh, I've always been doing orchestrals. Like, I wrote like Split Open and Melt. There's like sheet music for that. That's how that song was written.
Yeah.
And the you know, interviewer gets really interested in this, and Trey talks about a composition teacher he had that talked about how important the content is rather than the context. And Trey was like, oh, cool. So you mean like I could make content like this and put it in the context of a rock band? And like, that's what he did. And, you know, that really, I went into the garden thinking about that, and then like watching them play songs like Gayudi.
Yeah.
And You Enjoy Myself, and thinking like, oh, this is such an interesting framing of this like melodic, expansive, exploratory, technical, and yet, you know, the technicality is thrown all over the place for these crazy moments, you know, in the context of being in Madison Square Garden with the, you know, it's like, this is a very cool structure.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, I like that. I mean, and that's sort of one of the most incredible parts of seeing Phish, are those, you know, very through composed orchestral moments, you know, filtered through a 4-piece rock band. Incredible what they're able to, you know, the sonic fucking palette is just absolutely extraordinary. So needless to say, we had a great time, and would recommend for sure. That was the best. And now they're on a little bit of a break until the
weekend of the 25th. They're going to be at SPAC in Saratoga Springs, New York. I will be there,
which is a benefit for the flood relief.
Floods. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a beautiful thing. I'm stoked that they're, you know, able to do that. And of course, there's no, in my mind, no bigger Vermont band. I don't want to be proven wrong. Somebody's like, REO Speedwagon's from Vermont. I don't think they're bigger than Phish, though. Not in my small corner of the universe. Anyway, it's very, very cool that they're able to give back, and in a way that, of course, everybody is stoked that Phish is now playing SPAC at the end of the summer, which is great. And then the very classic Dick's Sporting Goods run in Denver, Colorado.
Yep. And they have, you know, three different destinations for their fall tour, and I'm sure they are going to announce a lot more. It's their 40th anniversary of Phish this year.
Beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing.
It was a great time. Thanks for 7 great nights, Phish. We can't even handle you right now. We're like bereft. We can't even, you know, it's so cool. It was really, really awesome. And just like very, I don't know, for me, it definitely like filled the inspirational tank in a big way.
Likewise. You
know? Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Otherwise, I mean, shit, my album's coming out on Friday. Hopefully this episode comes out before then. I don't even know what to say about that, other than I'm, you know, in the midst of it in a lot of ways, and it's just fucking crazy. And I will be performing at the Secret Dreams Festival in Thornville, Ohio, the day it comes out.
This looks like a good festival.
I mean, holy shit. It looks insane. It looks very EDM sort of like Wook DJ set heavy, you know, in the sense of like, I don't even know how I got booked on this festival. But like, I feel like I'm like one of like, you know, five like organic bands, quote unquote. It's like my day on my stage. It goes me and then La Special and STS9, I think. And maybe Papadozio? Anyway, those are like bands that like play instruments, you know, and a lot of it is like Tipper and Grizz and, you know, those are like the big headliners, but a lot of DJs and a lot of stuff like that. So that's going to be wild. And Legend Valley is where it is. And I have experienced the glory of Legend Valley for Dome Fest, the Pigeons Playing Ping Pong Festival. And boy, am I excited to fly into Columbus, drive to Legend Valley, play my set, and then drive for 5.5 hours to Maryland, where I will be performing the next day at the Hot August Music Festival on Saturday the 19th. That festival is in Cockeysville, Maryland, and features the likes of Oteil and Friends, Little Feet, Ripe, Daniel Donato's Cosmic Country, and your girl, me, among several others. So that's a really fun one-day music festival and a lot of travel for two festivals.
How does it feel to be in the less electronic camp for the Electronica Fest and the more electronic Ooh. Camp for the jam-centric hot summer fest?
A very interesting question. You know, it's typical for me, right? I'm always too poppy for the jammers and too jammy for the poppers. I'm like a confusing case in a lot of ways. And I feel like that's par for the course when you're writing your own book.
Yeah, no, totally. I don't know what kind of answer I expected, because I know that that is just kind of how you roll. I was just thinking about how sometimes we're at Jazz Fest and we'll go see a band with a very kind of guitar-centric thing after seeing a bunch of bands that are more horn-heavy, and the kind of refreshing nature of that, and you know, of course, vice versa in a lot of different circumstances.
Totally, and like I definitely feel like I'm going to try to cater both sets to their respective quote-unquote audiences.
In that's the sense really that, cool.
Yeah, and I've been thinking a lot about it, and there's like, you know, I have a new song. We named new song Reboot, by the way, and that sort of, you know, it's very ethereal and psychedelic, but very dancey, four on the floor, you know, a lot of craziness going on in that song. And I think that, you know, we could play that song for 20 minutes at Secret Dreams, you know, whereas I'm really looking forward to a real down and dirty South at the next night, you know, which is very much more guitar centric, rootsy kind of, you know, good old fashioned riff vibes, you know, and stuff like that. No, I'm definitely already thinking about it for sure. And I'm going to cater each one to what I think is going to go the hardest. I just don't know, but you can never know. Maybe if I reversed it, it would hit better. Who knows? But looking forward to it. It's going to be crazy to have such a fucking insane travel day the day my record comes out. You know, like, that's insane.
I definitely noticed that and have been thinking about it.
Yeah.
That will be wild.
Looking forward to it, though. Secret Dreams. We'll see you there, baby. It's great. I mean, I'm such a huge fan of festival season, and to have, you know, festivals every weekend until my tour is pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm so pleased with how the band is sounding. We had such a fun show. We had a bunch of shows last week. Two shows with Guster, and then one headlining show in Connecticut, and it was just super, super fun. So I'm delighted. I'm delighted. I'm glad we're finding a moment to like do a pod right before the record comes out. It's very exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Go stream Karina's album. It's called Joyride.
That's
Karina, congratulations.
Thanks, Bugs. Thanks, dude. It's going to be great. It's my first one, you know? It's like, you just don't know until you do it. And then you're like, oh, shit, we just had an album. And now I got to finish my second one, you know?
And it's one LP, but the vinyl is a gatefold cover, correct?
Correct. Single LP, gatefold cover. Very cool. Very proud of the gatefold interior that we designed.
I haven't seen it yet. That is probably what I'm most looking forward to.
Oh, it's so sick. I can't wait to show you.
I'm very excited.
I mean, I haven't physically seen it in real life, so I'm hoping that the printing process was kind to it, you know, and it looks good and as good in real life as it did on my computer screen. But yeah, that was a big labor of love for sure. So yeah, Isaac, do we have other stuff to talk about? Do we put a bow on it? What do we even do, dude? I don't even know.
I mean, I think we can thank RJB.
Of course. Of course.
A guy who soaked in much fish as well.
I believe that to be true. I believe that to be true. And RJ, thank you for putting us on here at Osiris Media, the network itself. It's a true delight. It's a true delight. We look forward to having dinner with you sometime soon.
Anyone else you want to thank?
I want to thank just about everybody I've ever met, which is going to take a long time. You know, I think let's do that for the next episode. I want to thank, the list goes on. I want to thank you for taking the time.
Thank you too.
This is really lovely. And I'm feeling good, guys. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you have an amazing rest of your day, week, and look forward to ripping another podcast real soon. And here we go, baby. Here we go.
Here we go.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Osiris.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.